So if you were Foreign Secretary now, George Galloway, what would you be doing?
Well, my feeling overwhelmingly is that this is all a bit of a sledgehammer to crush a nut. I'm not myself the world's biggest fan of Julian Assange, but it makes you wonder just what it is that they're up to, what it is that they've got against them, that they're prepared to move heaven and earth, move a phalanx of much-needed London policemen outside a small embassy of a small country, which has made a sovereign decision to give political asylum to someone who asked for it. I would allow diplomacy to take its course. I certainly wouldn't be overreacting in the way that I think that William Hague now has.
But in a way, there's only two outcomes to this. Either we allow Julian Assange to leave the country under some sort of diplomatic immunity, or we don't. And if we take the former option, then we really annoy Sweden. So we either annoy Ecuador or Sweden.
Well, trust me, Latin America is booming. In Santiago yesterday, the banks ran out of banknotes the Chileans are spending so freely. Brazil has just overtaken us as the sixth largest economy in the world. Latin America is booming. It's an area of great British interest and great British potential. Frankly, it's a more important country, or region rather, and Ecuador is a popular part of that region, than Sweden. So if we were looking at it in purely realpolitik terms, we'd choose Latin America. But you and I both know that the real agenda here is that the United States is determined to get its hands on Julian Assange, as it already has its hands on one of his alleged accomplices, Bradley Manning, who's being held in solitary confinement in pretty grim conditions on suspicion of having leaked a lot of the WikiLeaks material to Assange in the first place. And, you know, the Swedes say that they only want to question Assange on these sexual molestation charges. But the suspicion is, and I must say it's buttressed by Mr. Hague's latest démarche, that actually as soon as he was in Sweden, he'd be off on his way to the United States.
Well,
for extradition.
I could see the logic in that if it was a country other than Sweden, but surely we ought to have some respect for Swedish justice here. It's not some tinpot dictatorship that doesn't have a proper legal system. I can't imagine the Swedes, as a sort of fairly neutral country, really just acceding to any American wish.
Well, up to a point, Lord Copper. The method that the Swedes have approached here, used in the approach that they've made here, is a rather strange one. We both know that Assange has not actually been charged with anything. They want his extradition for questioning, but they could have questioned him at any time in London, where he was being held on a tag and could not have evaded and was ready, in fact, at any time to meet them. But they declined that, which raises the suspicion that they want him in their territory. In the expectation that the U.S. will ask for his extradition. And a whistleblower, and we're both in favor of whistleblowers, even if they're sometimes slightly odd individuals, as he very definitely seems to be. So my worry, my greater worry, is that it's an attempt to extinguish a small light, which sometimes distorts, but nonetheless has revealed some pretty interesting things for you and I as journalists and broadcasters.
Well, absolutely. And when he started his work with WikiLeaks, I was quite a fan of what he was doing. He exposed a huge amount of wrongdoing, lots of cases like the Trafigura case and all sorts of other things. But it all seemed to go to his head at one point, and he just got carried away with himself. And when he released those hundreds of thousands of documents about Iraq and Afghanistan, which put a lot of people's lives in danger, I thought, you've gone too far now.
Well, maybe, maybe not. We could argue about that. We will not argue about the fact that it went to his head a little. But then that can happen, Ian, even to the best of us. The truth, though, is that we shouldn't really analyze this from the standpoint of whether or not we like the messenger. The whistleblowing ethic, the ethic that things which should be made public are made public and are made public in a free society, is one that we shouldn't surrender lightly, however odd the fellow doing the whistleblowing seems to be. And the charges, which have not yet been laid against him in Sweden, of course, would not be charges in Britain. What he's alleged to have done are not crimes in the United Kingdom. So it has all sorts of complications. You know, if I don't know how sordid you want me to get, But if someone sleeps with you freely and then falls asleep and wakes up to you doing again what they were happy for you to do before they went to sleep, that doesn't become a crime. You don't have to ask a person for consent when you're already in bed with them and you've already had sex with them. It's a very odd set of sexual molestation charges, to which many of us, at some parts of our lives, could easily have fallen foul. So it's not a clear-cut case, the Swedish case, and it could have been resolved by coming to London to question him. The fact that they didn't do so leaves open the suspicion that this is about something much, much bigger than that.
Going back to the diplomatic side of this, if indeed the British authorities had some sort of forced invasion of the Ecuadorian embassy and actually seized him, what implications would that have for British embassies all over the world in future?
Well, I very much hope that they do not do that, because if they do, it will trigger mass invasions of British diplomatic missions in many parts of the world, and we won't have a leg to stand on if that happens. This is Ecuadorian sovereign territory. It actually belongs to Ecuador, this territory, that space. That's the norm in diplomatic relations. So I don't think, actually, the British will do that, because that would trigger a virtual war with Latin America. And, well, we've had one of those, and we don't want another. And what's more likely is that we have an absurd standoff with Julian Assange living in a rather nice part of Knightsbridge and being fed by takeaway from Harrods, which is a stone's throw away.
Well, I gather that the Ecuadorian embassy is actually, I think, one or two rooms in a shared building. So if he actually emerged from those rooms, it's in shared part of the building. So I suppose that's when he could be seized. So he's literally holed up there for as long as this isn't resolved.
It's probably better than a cell in the United States, though, Ian.
This is true. George, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome. Good to talk to you.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.